your congregation belonging to Christ in this last Advent sermon before Christmas Day 2021, this coming Saturday. Our focus is the Holy Spirit and Jesus' first coming. Oh God, the Holy Spirit and Jesus coming to serve as Savior of sinners. It's a grand theme. We will see that the Holy Spirit is astoundingly involved and bountifully involved and effectually involved in the gospel tidings of Jesus' first coming when born in Bethlehem. Our main texts that we read and highlighted also very much bring this out. Luke 1:35 and a couple of verses from Matthew 1, they bring out, don't they, that the Virgin Mary had a child in her womb of the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. And then we read John 16:14, which speaks of how the Holy Spirit, what does He do? He will glorify Me, said Jesus, when He was going to be ascended. He will come and glorify Me, for He will take of what is Mine and will declare it or show it to you. And then 1 Corinthians 2, which is a chapter all about our depravity of ourselves, brings out that it's by the Spirit we get to learn what we need to learn. We have received, says Paul there, not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. I read just yesterday again how Martin Luther in the book The Bondage of the Will writes, quote, "Nobody who has not the Spirit of God sees a jot of what is in the Scriptures. All men have their hearts darkened so that even when they can discuss and quote all that is in the Scripture, they do not understand really or know any of it. The Spirit is needed for the understanding of all Scriptures and every part of Scripture." And so what a great theme we have this morning. For dear congregation, for sure, we are not understanding the joyful tidings of Jesus' birth and salvation work if we fail to grasp also the important part God, the Holy Spirit, had and has still with the glad tidings of great joy with Jesus' first coming to this earth, sinners like us, to save. In our Bible-based catechism-related sermons, we are also at the point of Lord's Day 20, which asks just one question in reference to the Holy Spirit. And that is relevant to the sermon now. That one question, question 53, states what true Christians believe concerning the Holy Spirit. What do you believe concerning the Holy Spirit? Answer, first, that He is true and co-eternal God with the Father and the Son. Secondly, that He's also given me to make me by a true faith partaker of Christ and all His benefits, that He may comfort me and abide with me forever. Well, may God bless this sermon now, that such be all our blessed Christian testimony by His grace and Spirit. The Bible congregation makes unmistakably clear that God the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, co-equal with God the Son and God the Father. But He works behind the scenes. That's His role, as ordained by the Father. His role is ever to declare and to make known to us, not Himself so much as the Lord Jesus, in all His beauty and sufficiency, as the one and only God-given, ever-faithful Savior of sinners, for all who repent and believe on Him. So this morning, let's worship God, concentrating especially on God, the Holy Spirit's role in Jesus' coming when born in Bethlehem's stall, the Christ child, the promised Messiah. Notice first, surely, the Holy Spirit congregation is astoundingly involved in all this. And by astoundingly, we mean most marvelously, miraculously, supernaturally, wonderfully, almightily, unfathomably, and perfectly so. And here, of course, we are speaking especially of the supreme mystery of Jesus' conception in the womb of Virgin Mary, by the omnipotent and omniscient operation of the Holy Spirit overshadowing her. the mediator, congregation, and savior of sinners you and I absolutely need to be saved from our sins must be someone who in one person is not only very God, but also true man, and without any sin whatsoever. And Jesus is not made God by the Holy Spirit in Mary's womb. No, He's God condescending to this earth, and by the Holy Spirit also taking on human nature in Mary's womb by the holy conception of the Spirit. And it's so wonderful, because what the Holy Spirit does is He causes Jesus to be conceived and born without any actual sins whatsoever, without any guilt and stain of original sin in any way from Adam. God the Holy Spirit took care of this accomplishment and requirement in a way, congregation, that we can never fully comprehend, and for which all the praises for God and for eternity hereafter are forever warranted. Surely, what we read in Psalm 139, verse 14, when the psalmist praises God for the birth of and conception of any baby in any womb of a human mother, is especially a praise that's due to God, considering the conception of Jesus in Mary's womb. I will praise you, and for I am fearfully and wonderfully made, says the psalmist. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. That can be said of every baby born, but most of all of Jesus born in the Virgin Mary. Yes, by the Holy Spirit. How we should ever be astounded too, congregation, with how close Christ came in human flesh to be like us in everything in our human nature, except with no sin. Though in a sinful Mary's womb, Jesus never had the guilt nor stain of sin in His human being and nature. And though, as Paul says in Romans 8 verse 3, God sent His Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, yet Jesus remained spotless and without any sin whatsoever. And His conception in Mary's womb by the Holy Spirit meant the original sin of Adam's guilt and fall was not something Jesus Himself inherited at all. No, He came forth by the operation of the Holy Spirit as the clean out of the unclean. You know, in Job 14:4, we read Job asking this question, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? And he answers, no one. No one. Yes, except God, of course. He can. And God proves it with Jesus' birth by the conception of Jesus in Mary's womb by the Holy Spirit. Oh, thrice hallelujah for this marvel and mercy beyond measure. It's a gospel wonder Christians can never glory in enough, even when we can never fully comprehend it and explain it either. Praise God, the Holy Spirit accomplished this before the Holy God, as was read before the service. And all Jesus' life and ministry proves Jesus, the Savior of sinners, is God Himself come in the flesh. Yes, God come so close to us, yet without any sin and stain of sin. He's come so to seek and to save sinners like us. And how important this is, because we have to know and realize just the slightest or minutest or tiniest, even only microscopically discovered blot in Jesus' person as Savior, as the incarnate one, then Jesus could not save us from our sins. Only a Savior, perfectly, without any sin, from beginning to end, can serve to save sinners like us before the thrice holy God, who is of pure eyes to look upon and tolerate any iniquity whatsoever. And blessed be God triune now. He Himself, with His whole being, in all three persons of the Godhead, took care of the Savior you and I and all people need. And God the Holy Spirit was so instrumental in this gospel gift. But not only that, the Holy Spirit remained with Jesus and upheld and supported Jesus too in all His life while here on earth. You can read it yourself. Even as a child, the Holy Spirit led Jesus, So that in Luke 2 verse 40 we are told, and the child grew and became strong in spirit, small s, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Yes, by the Spirit. Then you know, I think also how when he was 30 years old and Jesus began his public ministry, first with the baptism by John the Baptist, what happened? We are expressly told the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove came upon him and remained with him. Symbolic, as one put it, of Jesus' empowerment for his gospel ministry. And very strikingly, just following Jesus' baptism and the Spirit coming upon him to equip and bless and strengthen him for his role as Savior of sinners, we read in Mark 1 verse 2, verse 12, immediately following that special event with his baptism, immediately after Jesus so identified with sinners and pledged himself in his role to be Savior, then we are told immediately the Spirit threw him out, drove him out, cast him out into the wilderness. Yes, to meet head on as the captain of our salvation, the devil himself, and his fierce and wicked temptations. And praise God, Jesus was upheld, wasn't he, by God the Holy Spirit again, and his word. He triumphed over the devil in the wilderness temptations. Unlike Adam and Eve, when tempted in the Garden of Eden, with every perfect blessing of creation still around them, and all kinds of food, Jesus in the wilderness, with all blessings removed from him, and just a wild beast with him, he stood strong by the Spirit, and he resisted the devil by the Spirit with the Word of God, perfectly triumphing over the wicked one, gloriously on sinners' behalf. And from there, Jesus, in all his 3-year gospel ministry, in word and deed, he was anointed and guided by the Holy Spirit. Jesus himself tells us this in Luke 4, that his ministry was the fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah 61. So Jesus read in the synagogue of Nazareth, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." So, beloved, do you see it? Jesus ministered by the Spirit his whole life. And also, by the Spirit, did you think about it? He gave his life as a perfect sacrifice for sin, even to the death on the cross on sinners' behalf. We know this for sure from Hebrews 9:14, where we are told specifically about the sin-atoning blood of Christ shed on Golgotha, that quote, "Through the eternal Spirit, Jesus offered himself without spot to God. Yes, as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world for all his people, all who come to him in repentance and faith." Jesus' resurrection from the dead also is mentioned as being by the Holy Spirit of God. Yes, we know Jesus as God himself raised himself, and the Father was involved in the resurrection too. But listen to Romans 8:11 and 1 Peter 3:18 mention the Holy Spirit's role in regards to Jesus' resurrection. In Romans 8:11, Paul declares, speaking to Christians, "But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you." And in 1 Peter 3:18, Peter mentions about Jesus made alive from being put to death in the flesh, made alive by the Spirit, he says. So you see with me how everything in Jesus' earthly ministry, from start to finish, the Holy Spirit was astoundingly involved. And when Jesus ascended, we know Jesus' promise and care was, together with the Father, to have the Holy Spirit sent forth and poured out to minister in people's minds and hearts the glad tidings of the good things in and with the salvation gospel message of Jesus Christ, the crucified and risen triumphant Savior of sinners. We live now in the time between Jesus' first and second coming, don't we? In this time where God the Holy Spirit is sovereignly ministering since Pentecost with the gospel tidings and by the word, saving sinners and sanctifying His people all around the world. Also here in Calgary, we may believe. God the Holy Spirit will take care not one of those ordained by the Father unto salvation and for whom Jesus shed His blood will be lost still and yet unsaved. No, not one. We will come back to this more in our third point. But before we move to our second and third point, in regards to the Holy Spirit, so involved in Jesus' first coming, in all His gospel ministry, yes, astoundingly so, is it not good for us, congregation, just to pause here for a moment in humble praise and in joyful contemplation? When, I ask you, have you consciously and conscientiously thanked God the Holy Spirit for His person and work in and with Jesus coming to this earth, sinners like us, to save? Is it not fitting that we praise God the Holy Spirit too, together with the Father and the Son, for the most joyful tidings of Jesus' birth come to this earth to seek and to save sinners like us all? Are we also taking care not to quench or grieve the Holy Spirit, but to adore Him too as God, and to pray for His almighty and gracious ministry in our lives, ever convicting us of our sins and drawing us to this Jesus Christ as the only Savior for us, to deliver us from all our sins and sinfulness, and to give us life, and that more abundantly and eternally? Should we not be so grateful to God the Holy Spirit too for His almighty works with Jesus' first coming and for His tireless and endless manifold ministering to sinners like us? When you think of Him taking of the things of Christ and showing them to us from the Word again and again and again in our lives. Here we come also to our second main point then, and reflect on the Holy Spirit being bountifully involved in Christ's first coming. Not only is God the Holy Spirit astoundingly involved, but bountifully involved. And for this point, just meditating on the Holy Spirit's ministry as the agent of salvation sent forth to take of the things of Christ and to show them to us, who can add up, I ask you, who can add up all the labors of God the Holy Spirit in the ministry of the gospel? The Holy Spirit as God uses all His divine power and energy with unceasing concentration and application to make known the gospel of Jesus Christ in the lives of sinners in all ages and from around the world. Think of it here too, that it is the Holy Spirit who is the author of the God-inspired scriptures from Genesis to Revelation. Not only does the Apostle Paul teach us this very clearly in 2 Timothy 3:16, but we read the Apostle Peter say the same emphatically, that the human authors of the Bible were men, he says, who spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Plus, consider, congregation, how it was with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, as sent by the ascended Savior in heaven and by God the Father with Him, that the Scriptures then became understood as never before, showing all that the Word of God is teaching and testifying of Jesus, the promised Messiah and only Savior of sinners. The Holy Spirit poured out ministers bountifully to open the Scriptures to sinners and to convict and to convert sinners by the preaching of the Word. It was the Holy Spirit too who filled the disciples so that they clearly and boldly preached Jesus and Him crucified and risen again. And they earnestly called all to Him, didn't they, who would hear both among Jew and Gentile. Over and over we read in the book of Acts, with the expansion of the gospel ministry from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth, it was how? It was with them, the disciples and the Christians of that time, being filled with the Holy Spirit and guided and empowered and enlightened and emboldened and comforted by the Holy Spirit. We are told too in Romans 8 how the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Speaking of His praying for all God's people here on earth in all our needs and cares, living still in this fallen world of sin. Oh, who can tell when all and where all and how all God the Holy Spirit is bountifully and ceaselessly involved also yet in our 21st century world, laboring to seek and to save sinners in view of Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners, come to this earth with sovereign power and grace and mercy and love for sinners like us, and in all praise and devotion to God the Father and God the Son. The Holy Spirit, beloved, is bountifully involved with Jesus coming to serve as Savior of sinners. God the Holy Spirit, we know, was bountifully involved before time. We can't say all how, but He was, together with the Father and the Son. But then He was also, at the very beginning of history, bountifully involved, as Genesis 1 verse 2 even makes clear. And then the Holy Spirit is involved intimately in all the gospel cause of the Lord in the Old Testament age. And then so much more involved and engaged in the New Testament age, at least publicly so. And all the more yet since Pentecost, as recorded for us in Acts chapter 2. Well, one particular and most precious way, most worthy to highlight, that the Holy Spirit is bountifully involved with Jesus coming to serve as Savior of sinners is with giving us the Bible, congregation. The Bible. And with God the Holy Spirit always taking care to preserve the Bible, regardless of the opposition against it. And indeed, to have it translated into many languages, even still today. God the Holy Spirit is having the good news of the gospel spread across the world, truly and increasingly, yes, also yet in our times presently. What reasons, when you put this together, for most humble and hearty thankfulness, truly and repeatedly so, especially too for the Holy Bible given us, yes, from a special care which God has for us and our salvation, as our Belgic Confession also states in Article 3. And the more you and I read the Bible and understand the Bible as the revelation of Jesus Christ, proclaiming Him as the one and only God-given Savior of sinners for us, the more there's reason, isn't there, to praise God, the Holy Spirit. How amazing, really, how that each of the 66 inspired books of the Bible, every book, every one, each one, is a Spirit-led word pointing us one way or another to Jesus, the Savior. The Savior we each desperately need. And the Savior who most graciously and gloriously meets our every need when trusting and following after Him. Now in my sermon, I actually went through all the 66 books of the Bible to say how they point to Jesus. But I'm leaving it out because it'll make my sermon too long. So for those of you who have a copy of the script, we go back to the part that's no longer in italics. So in my script, it's page 11. And actually page 12, for putting everything together from the Bible and thinking how each Bible book, each one in their own way, points to Jesus. Doesn't it show how bountifully involved over the ages is the Holy Spirit in connection with Jesus first coming to serve as Savior of sinners? As another also put it, the Old Testament, by the Spirit, anticipates and prepares beautifully for Jesus' first coming as Savior. And then the Gospels give us, by the Spirit, the gracious and glorious facts of His coming. And then the book of Acts, by the Spirit, tells of the wonderful spreading of the good news about His coming, even from Jerusalem to Rome. And then all the books of the Apostles, they, by the Spirit, explain further the precious gospel message and gems and earnest call in connection with Jesus' coming. And then finally, the book of Revelation, by the Spirit, gives us the consummation of all things through Jesus' coming. And it tells us, doesn't it, how Jesus is coming again, even quickly, to establish His eternal kingdom. bringing all His people home with Him to glory, and casting all the wicked and unbelieving as outcasts in hell forever. I found it very striking to read in this connection, Revelation 1 verse 10. John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day when he received the book of Revelation. It's from the Spirit, the whole Bible. And this, the Holy Spirit, He bountifully reveals in and with the Bible the good news still today, that Jesus is the Savior, the only Savior. And the Holy Spirit is working, congregation, through the gospel word of all Scripture to proclaim and press home Jesus as the all-sufficient Savior of sinners, and to draw His people initially and repeatedly to this Savior, in whom is all our salvation from beginning to end. Oh, blessed Holy Spirit, don't you think so too and say so too? And here we come yet to our third point about the Holy Spirit. Not only being astoundingly involved and bountifully involved, but effectually involved in the good news of Jesus coming as Savior of sinners. And by effectually involved, we mean now the Spirit works, doesn't He? With convicting, converting, conquering, compelling gospel power in the hearts of all those ordained to eternal life. And that they all, yes, without exception, become joined to Christ. In the final day, this will be well known. Yes, believing in Him in the way of true faith, all God's elect people, in the way of true faith and genuine repentance from sin, and in wholehearted devotion to Jesus Christ as their only Savior and Lord. Do you, may I ask, do you know of the Spirit effectually working in this way in your own heart and life? Can you tell of the Spirit by the Word of God, drawing you as a needy sinner to Jesus as the all-sufficient Savior, that you acknowledge Him as your only Savior and Lord? Time and again, when we read even the true stories surrounding the events of Jesus' birth in Bethlehem, it is clear, no one comes to the Savior in truth without learning and confessing their sins and sinfulness of themselves. But always the Spirit convicts us of this by the Word to draw us to Jesus as the one and only all-sufficient Savior. The Savior who is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by Him. The Spirit delights to show the love and the care and supply of the infinite fullness of salvation in and through the crucified and risen Redeemer, even for the chief of sinners. God the Holy Spirit is out to show us initially and repeatedly through His Word the heart of God's infinite love and mercy and power for all who call on the Savior. Jesus says in John 6 that all who come to Him will be most welcomed by Him. As the Holy Spirit worked almightily with the creation of the world, so even more grandly He works supremely the miracle of new life and recreation through His power. Yes, by means of the gospel word brought home to our minds and hearts. Paul says he preached in demonstration of the Spirit and power, namely the power of God. And in 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 5, he testifies how in preaching to others, and when that preaching was received, he says, the gospel did not come in word only then, but also in power, and in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance. And don't we have to say, congregation, truly, when anyone, anywhere, is born again, and truly repents of sins, and trusts and follows Jesus as only Savior and Lord, always, without exception, that is the effectual work of the Holy Spirit working in sovereign grace in our lives, making a difference with us from the unbelieving, where there's no difference with us by nature. Paul declares thus also in 1 Corinthians 12 verse 3, therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Still today, beloved, the Holy Spirit, by and with the gospel word and work of Jesus the Savior, is out to convict and to convert sinners and to have us live consecrated lives to God's glory and praise. It is this gospel reality that calls us also as Christian church and God's people individually and together to continue faithfully and gladly and diligently and hopefully to proclaim and to spread the good news of the gospel in word and deed. How we should do so always prayerfully. Yes, with prayer to God, the Holy Spirit, that in Jesus' name He might bless and prosper the gospel word for ourselves, yes, but also for all who hear the word, also in and through us, including, yes, in our families and with our siblings and our children and children's children. Let us plead the promise of Luke 11:13, where Jesus declares, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? The gospel tidings are such that Jesus, who came to save sinners, has also, by His death and resurrection, made a way for the Spirit to come and to work with sovereign triumph in sinners' hearts and lives. We shouldn't despair of anyone still living, also among our families, who are hardened and in the way of the world. But keep bringing them to God, asking for His mighty work by His almighty Spirit. And who knows what God might yet do. The Holy Spirit is sent from the Savior and the Father in heaven to be the conqueror of sinners' hearts and lives, and the comforter for us in all our needs and cares as God's people. And to be our teacher and guide in living for the Lord, to His praise and for our neighbor's good. How encouraging in this regard is Paul's word of blessing in Romans 15:13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope. How? By the power of the Holy Spirit. How precious and reassuring too for God's people is Paul's exhortation to all believers in 2 Timothy 1:13-15, living here still in the good fight of faith, yet in this sinful world, with our sinful selves by nature, and the ungodly world and evil devil still ever against us. Listen to what Paul writes there in 2 Timothy 1:13-15, as part of his last words before his own death for the gospel's sake. He writes, "Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, keep." How? By the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. Don't you just find that exhortation so encouraging as well? God doesn't leave us to ourselves, but He has given us the Comforter, Holy Spirit. Are we not ever dependent on His grace and power? By His Spirit and Word? Yes, in first coming to Christ to be saved, and then for always drawing from Christ to live as those saved till the last day when God calls His people home to glory. Isn't this the testimony of every true believer by God's grace and Spirit? How dependent we are on the Holy Spirit. For sure, dear congregation, if you can say with mind and heart what Heidelberg Catechism 53 confesses about the Holy Spirit, and I'll read it one more time to you, what do true Christians believe concerning the Holy Spirit? First, that He is true and co-eternal God with the Father and the Son. Secondly, that He's also given me to make me, by a true faith, partaker of Christ and all His benefits, that He may comfort me and abide with me forever. When you too can confess that, then you know what? You will not only so rejoice in Jesus' first coming as Savior, but you will anticipate eagerly Jesus' second and final coming too, and live in faith and faithfulness till that day. It's the fruit of the Spirit who so astoundingly and bountifully and effectually is involved in the whole message of Jesus come as Savior of sinners, who works these blessings. Let none of us despise and reject the indescribable gift of God's Son come to this world, and that we all may pray God the Holy Spirit ever to make Jesus Christ most clear to us and very dear to us and especially near to us as only Savior and Lord for us. Let no one of us resist the Holy Spirit, even as also with this sermon, once again, the Lord of heaven and earth, as triune God, by His Spirit and Word, calls us to believe in Jesus and to rely on Him and to rejoice in Him and to reflect Him to others in word and deed, as God gives us yet the opportunity to do so. How better to end this sermon then with the words of the song of benediction, which states, "May the grace of Christ the Savior and the Father's boundless love with the Holy Spirit's favor rest upon us from above. Thus may we abide in union with each other and the Lord and possess in sweet communion joys which earth cannot afford." Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit's ministry, so astounding, so bountiful, and so effectual in the coming of Jesus and in the teaching about Him for us in our lives. Oh, blessed triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, receive our praise for being such a complete Savior God. You didn't only plan salvation perfectly and accomplish salvation perfectly, but you apply it perfectly too, for us needy people in ourselves. Blessed triune God, all praise be to you now and forevermore. Please receive our praise also now and work it in all our lives without exception. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.